Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Today, I have a very special guest. Tonight, rather, I have a very special guest. His name is Paul Valenti. We were just talking a little bit, and Allison Arngrun has designated you as the quote-unquote the Prairie Wrangler because of how instrumental you've been in the past of putting together past reunions, getting people together, running pretty much the only spot on Facebook to really get firsthand information about these reunions, and just basically touching upon so much. And I've been so fortunate to have you help me reach out to so many of the previous cast members of Little House to come on to this show. And Paula, I really have to say thank you so much. This virtual friendship that we've created, I would think that my podcast would definitely be a lot less, I guess it would have a lot less substance. And for that, I really appreciate that. But welcome to the show, Paul. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
Well, thank you for having me on, Mark. I enjoy these moments where we can, you know, talk a little bit about the show and the cast members and what we have going on, because in reality, I think, and I've told a lot of the cast members this in person, I said, there's not too many shows. I can't think of another show that where the cast still is one big family. They still are willing to travel around, meet their fans. I mean, mm-hmm. We're talking 40 plus years after the show went off the air there. People are still willing from the cast to go out and meet their fans. You don't see that from other shows. So just for me to be a part of that, has really been, it's like an honor to me to do that.
Wow. You know, and it's funny because all the people I've spoken to, everybody really admires each other. And I don't know, everybody has the same type of thing to say about you. People are like, oh, Paul's a great guy. Paul, you know, great sense of humor. And, you know, I feel as though if you were friends with these guys in the late 70s, they might have found a spot for you on the cast.
Every once in a while, we go to an event, and someone will look at me, you know, because I'm standing there usually within range of whatever cast member is there, and they'll look at me, and they'll kind of try to, you know, recognize, who is this guy? And then finally they'll say, so were you on the show?
It was Doc Baker's intern.
And sometimes I'll, you know, it just depends on the mood I'm in, and sometimes I'll say, oh, yeah, you know, remember that one scene in the schoolhouse? That one guy in the back row that was making all that trouble, that was me. And the fan will look at me and go, oh, yeah, you look familiar.
It's too funny. But, you know, it's really funny because you probably have, you know, you're friends with these people now. So it's you have that kind of connection with them, and it's kind of like you're fitting right in. And that's the way everybody speaks about you when we speak. Like Dean Butler was saying that people just, they really like spending time with you. And I just think that's really, really great. I have to assume that you were a fan of Little House on the Prairie then years and years ago.
When I was growing up as a kid, my parents were very strict. In fact, we didn't even have our own television, I think, until maybe we were in high school. Hmm. So when I was a kid, it was all about you either have to go outside and play when you're not in school, or you can read. And so here's what you can read. Yeah. And so she'd find that, you know, she'd find some good books for us to read. We had the library nearby, or the, you know, they used to deliver books to your house type of thing. So I still remember, even though it's, you know, it's been 50 plus years ago, I remember her bringing home, I found this whole collection of books about life in the prairie written by some woman named Laura Ingalls Wilder. I think we should read these. So she would start out by reading it to us because, you know, we were so young, but she would start reading to us. And so, of course, we followed that through. And when we did have access to a television, of course, there were only certain shows we could watch. And at that time, you know, when we first started reading the books, it was just the books. There was no show. Mm-hmm. And I still remember the day she came home and said, guess what? Remember those books we've been reading for the past couple of years? They're making a show out of it. And then, of course, we're looking at her like, well, that's great, but we don't have a television. You
know? Yeah.
So we thought, well, maybe this will give my parents reason to get us a television. But that's not really how it worked out. It had turned out that we had been going over to the neighbors one night a week to watch the Waltons. Right. And so since we're doing that, and they'd been on the air for maybe a year or two before this show started. And so, okay, well, maybe we can go over there two nights a week and watch Little House on the Prairie. So that's how it started. We started, you know, basically intruding on our neighbors just so the Little House on the Prairie show. And that's definitely how we grew up.
Hey, you bring the popcorn, you know. That's pretty awesome, actually. You know, it's weird. Like, you know, nowadays, you know, everybody, of course, has a TV probably in pretty much every room in their house. But we watch less and less TV. You know, now we're watching streams of things. You know?
Right.
But, even when I was a kid, you know, I think we forget the importance of live television. You know, it's like you have to be there at that time and no messing around. You know, it's like you miss it, you're screwed.
Yeah, there was no such, when I started watching television, there was no such thing as a VCR. You know, if you weren't home or got home from school in time, that show was done and gone. You wouldn't see it until maybe summertime when they did the reruns.
So you were a fan of the Waltons. So, I mean, Little House on the Prairie being, I'd say in the same family of type of shows, but, you know, also very different. Did you like the show right away? You know, the Waltons, in my opinion, always dealt with a little bit of a more serious or older theme.
You're right. I mean, it was kind of, you know, set in the wartime, so it was kind of a little darker period of our history. Mm-hmm. And seeing how this family got along and survived and interacted. And I must say, over the past few years, I've become good friends with a lot of the cast from the Waltons as well. And those two shows, those two cast groups, are like an example of what we said earlier of these family type of atmospheres. We call them the kids. Of course, they're in their 50s now, but
right.
Oh, and older. But there's been a couple of occasions. In fact, just the last in April when we went to Missouri, we had pretty much all the kids from the Waltons and a group from the Little House, and we just kind of were there all together. So I think it was a pretty good treat for the fans. But yeah, I was definitely a Waltons fan back then, and I'm really honored again that I'm able to consider a lot of them my friends as well. So
how did you first begin meeting these people? Because, you know, this is like something that's kind of random. I mean, you're coming from the viewpoint really of a fan when you're a kid. And here you are, you know, you're having you have personal relationships with them, you know, much more than your average person who just kind of meets somebody. I mean, you've definitely developed real friendships here.
I think that if someone would have told me way back when that this show that I was watching and, you know, and absorbed, if they had actually told me that one day you will be friends with all these people, I would have said, you are crazy. That's never going to happen.
Right.
And because when I was watching these shows, you know, Michael Landon, I could picture him being my dad, you know, and mm-hmm. Karen being my mother,
Yeah, absolutely.
And Lindsay and Sydney and Melissa and Melissa being my sisters. And it just, you know, I just saw myself in that. In fact, I still remember dreaming that I was there, you know, on the set, but it was real life. You know, it was actually happening. I was actually there and all these things were happening around me. So the fact that I've gone from that to actually being friends with these people is it's just such a twist of fate. Now, the reason that it became how this happened is that, of course, I grew up in San Diego, California, mm-hmm. and we moved there in the mid-70s, so the show was just kind of hitting its stride then, and my parents wanted me to go to summer camp, so I went to summer camp, and after a couple summers there, I decided I wanted to work at summer camp.
Right.
And this was a summer camp located in just kind of north of San Diego, up in the mountains. And so it was somewhere around 1984, the summer of 1984, that I decided I'm going to apply to work at this summer camp because I enjoyed it so much as a kid. So I interviewed, and they took me on. And I remember one night I was away from my cab. They give us one day off during the week, and we don't have to be in charge of your cabin of kids. And so I was hanging out with one of my friends who was a counselor there, a girl that had a group of girls that she was watching.
By the way, what a cool job to have, right? I mean, it's like the movie Meatballs.
It's not a high-paying job, I tell you that much.
But it sounds like fun. I mean, come on.
It probably breaks down to like 80 cents an hour or something like that.
Jeez.
Adjusted
for inflation, at least.
Yeah, for inflation. Yeah, that's now.
Yeah. Oh, you mean now? Oh, geez.
So yeah, but it was an experience that a lot of the college and high school kids would, you know, look forward to going up to this camp. And it was like, you know, we had big old campground up there and all these kids and we made friends and all this stuff. And then, of course, once you go there enough years, you know all these other campers, and all these other campers are saying, hey, we should work here and be staff members. So that's what I decided I wanted to do. So wind forward to 1984, I'm hanging out with my friend. She's watching this group of girls. I think it was some sort of recreational time. And one of her campers comes running over and says, Jackie, they're picking on me. And Jackie, of course, says, well, you know, I'm sorry they're doing that. That's not nice of them to do. She said, why don't you sit here with us and just, you know, until we're done. And then we'll just, you know, we'll deal with that. So the girl sits down, you know, a little bit away from me. And I'm looking at her. I'm thinking, this girl is really familiar. But why?
Mm-hmm. You know?
So I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me, and I said, why are you so familiar? And she looks at me, and she goes, well, I'm on TV. And I said, you're on TV? And I said, what is your name? And she says, my name's Rachel. And I said, well, what do you do on TV? And she says, I'm on Little House on the Prairie. And as soon as she said that, it was like, ding.
Because you're seeing her in modern clothing.
And it was, that was,
wow.
You know, ago, and I still remember that little light bulb going, oh my gosh, here I am. This is a situation that I dreamed about. And here I am sitting here in this, I'm meeting this girl that was actually on the show.
Wow. And of course, that's cool.
Then her sister was in another cabin, but I eventually met her. And of course it was kind of a situation where, you know, we did have celebrity children up at the camp, and it was a little kind of a tricky situation sometimes because some of the other campers, I think, were jealous of that. And so we had to kind of watch out for these campers that were, you know, celebrities that maybe did get picked on a little bit, which it did seem to happen. And
they get jealous of the attention. Next thing you know, they're getting beaten up or something.
So, but I remember Rachel being so upset because the other girls were picking on her, and that's how it started. And we just kind of, you know, struck up this friendship, and she actually stayed a week longer because her sister, you know, from the show credits, you know, is named Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
So Sydney had to leave at the end of that particular week because she had an audition coming up. But Rachel stuck around and for another week, and so we got to be friends. And I kind of like took on this role of her big brother. However, her actual big brother, Clay Greenbush, was actually at the camp too. So it was kind of it was kind of interesting how I kind of all of a sudden I'm meeting these people that I'd, you know, watched on the TV show, and just, you know, this
it's like surreal, right? It's kind of like what?
Yeah, I remember we had one phone available to all the campers at and staff from the campground where we could call our parents or whatever.
Right.
And we were very limited on time we could use this phone. There was only one phone, and there was, you know, hundreds of people on at the camp. So I still remember calling my mom. I said, you'll never guess what's happened. And she said, what happened? I said, cause these, you know, my mom, she's always thought, you know, get bit by a snake or something like that.
Oh my God.
So I said, you'll never guess what happened. And she said, What happened?
You're
said,
dying.
No, yeah, that's kind of what our first, what, you know. So I said, I just met Carrie Ingalls at camp. And of course, her initial reaction was, who? You know, I said, Carrie Ingalls from the Little House on the Prairie, the show we've been watching. She goes, really?
Is that the Dean Butler fella?
What are they doing at camp? So that's how it went. And, we, like I said, we struck up a friendship. We kind of lost touch over the years until 2007. And, actually, yeah, 2007, People Magazine ran a story. I don't know if you've seen these stories where they, where are they now?
Sure.
So, they ran this story about the Greenbush twins being involved with the competitive race on horse racing or...
Yeah, so they're very equestrian.
Equestrian, that's the term. So, you know, I saw this story in People Magazine. I said, there they are again. I said, you know, we haven't talked in 20-some years. I said, I need to try to reach out to them and find out, you know, what they've been doing. So I sat down, and by then they had a page dedicated to them on the internet, which was created by another friend of mine, friends since then, Lennon Parker. And Lennon had created this page, you know, for the Greenbush twins.
On MySpace, so, maybe, right? Or a regular web page?
It was just a regular web page. Yeah, regular web page. I punched in Lindsay Sydney Greenbush, you know, and this web page pops up and, you know, shows their pictures from the show and what they've been doing since then and how they got started and their credits. And so, and then right toward the bottom, it says, contact the twins or contact us, something like that. So I hit that button. I said, you don't remember me probably, but you know, we were at summer camp together and la la la. So, and then I don't know, it was probably the next day or so, I got a response back from Rachel. She goes, okay, I met a lot of people at camp. I don't remember exactly who you are, but you know, it sounds like you remember a lot about it. So, you know, do you have a picture or anything? Well, it just so happened I had taken some pictures, you know, the two of us or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I sent that to her, and she goes, oh, I remember you now. So we started talking, and I started talking to her sister, and it just kind of advanced from that point to the point where one day I'm talking to Robin, and there is such a huge interest in Little House on the Prairie. Still, there's fans out there that want to meet you. And I said, have you ever done that? And she said, well, you know, we get calls every now and then from people that want to do something, have an event of some sort. She said, but it's very unorganized. And most of the times the people that call us, they just want to talk to a celebrity. They want to talk to somebody from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets right down to saying, okay, you know, we've had our fun, we've gotten introduced to each other, okay, well, so what's the logistics of making this happen? The people are just like,
they don't know what the next step is.
Yeah, I don't know what. So what would you do in this case? And they're like, okay, this is not going anywhere. So they had several of those situations. So I said, you know what? I said, what if someone that wasn't on the show is not a celebrity, what if that person reached out to all these people and started making some arrangements and made this sort of thing happen? You know, maybe somebody with some organization. I mean, I don't claim to be any kind of like master plan or anything like that. But, you know, the two things I had in my favor is that, you know, I wasn't on the show. They're not going to get anything out of just talking to me. The serious ones are going to be the ones that I get to talk to. So she said, you know, that's not a bad idea. That'd probably work out a lot better. So she said, let me send you all these names of people that have contacted us in the venues, and I'll have you call them and contact them and see if you can weed out the ones that are serious.
Mm-hmm.
So she said that I talked to this one lady last week that wanted us to come show up at their event, but they want us to pay our own way.
That's
not really what we're, you know, we don't have time to do that. You know, It doesn't make sense for us to do that. I said, well, you know, give me all these names and I'll start reaching out to these places and these venues and these people. And so that's what I started doing. And by, I think that was 2007. And from that point on until early 2008, we'd lined up 3 or 4 appearances for the twins themselves. Just Lindsay and Sydney.
For the Greenbush twins.
Greenbush twins.
Okay.
Right. So I had called a couple of places and I said, hey, I understand you have some interest in having the Greenbush twins at your event, at your venue. I'm the person who can make that happen. You know, what's your idea? What do you want to do? And, I run into a couple of people like, oh, you know, we were just thinking about it. We weren't sure what was, you know, we probably not really able to do something like that. But, you know, we were just kind of putting some feelers out. But I found several places that said, oh, you know, we really want to do something for, do you think we could put something together? So we started doing that. And so to make a long story short, we had several events that went so much more, shall we say, explosive than we could have imagined.
Yeah.
Because initially, some of these venues were like, well, you know, we realized that the show was on a long time ago, that the twins were quite young. We're not sure what kind of, draw it's still going to be after all this time. So, you know, let's plan for, you know, 300 fans and maybe this much time for signing autographs. And, you know, so that's kind of how these first few got put together. And then the time for the actual event occurred. And instead of 300 fans, we had 1,000 fans.
Wow. That's amazing.
And we had, you know, we blew right through the allotted time. They're like, well, what do we do? You know, we don't have any more time. Well, we've got to keep going, you know, because we've got fans. We've got lines of fans still. And it was incredible.
That's a good problem to have, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think it was about the third event that we had over in Keystone, South Dakota. And I had sent the twins over there to make an appearance. And so I was keeping sometimes I go to the events myself, sometimes I don't. But on this particular one, they'd gone by themselves. And so I was keeping track. I was talking to them every day. How's it going? Any problems? What do I need to address anything? This sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the weekend, I called the person that had sponsored this whole thing. And they were actually having dinner at the time. And I said, you know, I'm just calling to get a debriefing. Let me know how it went. You know, were you happy with the event? You know, any problems, anything we need to change about it? She goes, you know what? We need to do this again. I said, okay. I said, sounds good. She said, but I want more cast members. And I said, oh, okay. Because I think she assumed right away that, you know, if I represented the Greenbush twins, all I have to do is get all these other people on the phone and get them all together. I said, well, let me talk to the twins and see what can happen. So, you know, when I talked to them, I said, you know what? They want to do this again next year, but they want more cast members. They want to have like a reunion. And so the twins said, you know, that's a great idea. So it was actually, I think it was Robin, also known as Sydney, who sat down and wrote out a letter to all the cast members and said, okay, this is what we've been doing this past 6 months or so, where we had some really nice appearances for Little House on the Prairie. We had some great fan attendance. They want you also to come to a reunion type event next year. And she said, okay, this guy we've been working with, he's our friend Paul. We know him from way back when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's okay. He's not a stalker.
He's with us.
He's not crazy.
It's like being in the mob.
I think Sydney said he's not nuts.
Yeah, that's the key right there.
So I just want to let you know that, you know, he's involved. So what we'll do is, you know, whatever he comes up with, you know, he's going to send me this, you know, these emails or whatever, and then I'll pass them on to you. So that's how we did it for a couple of months. And then finally, the cast is saying, you know, if you trust him, we're good. You know, you can give out our contact information. We can speed this process up a little bit. And so I started hearing from the cast themselves. And of course, my mind's blown.
Sure. You know,
here I am, you know, going from, you know, just watching the show, and now I'm communicating directly with the cast.
Wow.
So that was pretty crazy. So
it's amazing how far a good idea can take you, though. You know, when you put some effort and you do something and you really commit to it, how you can really pull something together.
Right. And again, it was just, you know, I enjoyed that kind of logistics planning and putting things together. But I mean, really, it's the cast that make it happen. I mean, sure. You know, you can do all this work and have somebody appear at an event. And if they're jerks, you know, and they don't treat the fans correctly or properly, or if they're complaining and all that kind of thing, then, you know, it's not going to go over well, no matter how much planning you do.
I mean, I've been to Comic-Con, and I've gone to a ton of shows throughout when I had a career in television. And, you know, I went to the early Comic-Cons and new ones, and there's always a jerk. There's always somebody who kind of ruins it for everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't get that vibe from, I'm not saying it's impossible for it to happen, but I everyone who I've been fortunate enough to speak with really has a certain respect and fondness for each other. And I think it's so rare to just hear about that.
I think when I first started doing this with the cast, there were times where, you know, things would pop up. And I'm thinking, they're not going to want to do this. I'm not going to mention it to them because this is silly. You know, either it's not a big venue or fan opportunity, or, you know, it's in a very out of the way isolated place. They're not going to want to, I'm not even going to mention it to them, you know.
Right.
I had when I first started branching out into communicating with some of the rest of the cast members, I got a request from somebody actually in Los Angeles that said, you know, I'm having a birthday party for my mom. She's turning 70, and she loves Little House on the Prairie. And she wants, you know, I would love if possible, I want to surprise her with one of the cast members. And I'm just wondering, you know, do you think either of the Greenbush twins would like to do something like that, show up at her birthday party, maybe sing her happy birthday? That's all she has to do, all they would have to do.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, I suppose, you know, you never know. I said, you know, and he said, well, you know, I can afford to do like a couple $100 to if they're willing to show up. But, you know, they only have to be there like 10 minutes. You know, I said, well, it's possible. It's possible. I said, but let me check. So I checked with the twins. Unfortunately, that same weekend that he was throwing this party was the same weekend that the Greenbush twins' birthday fell on.
Oh, geez.
So they had plans with their family. So I'm thinking, okay, what do I do now? I said, well, you know, let me just throw it out there and see if anybody else is interested. And I found out where this party was going to be held, and I realized it's pretty close to where Allison lived.
Oh.
So I talked to Rob, and I said, because I hadn't been in touch with Allison, anybody yet directly like that, about any kind of invitation. And I talked to Rob, and I said, do you think, you know, since you guys can't make it, I mean, what do you think about me asking Allison, because she's close by? Do you think she could run over there and do something like that?
Yeah.
You know? And Robin said, yeah, I, you know, she's been known to do things spontaneously. And I said, okay, you know, so I reached out to Allison, and Allison's first question was, will there be cake?
It's classic.
Will there be cake? So that actually happened in this little interim between actually having an event happen. This was in that little period of time where I was just talking to people. So an event actually hadn't happened yet, you know?
Right.
So this is something that I hadn't actually met Allison in person yet. And so that was just kind of an example. And I've had other examples where the cast members, you know, I'll get some sort of a invitation from a venue or a event that's happening. They'll say, you know, it'd be really great if we could have a cast member from the show show up, you know, even if they could just be there for a day. And I'm thinking, you know, this is not something they're going to want to do, you know, this, because, you know, they have lives, you know, these sure. I think a lot of the fans think that the cast members are just sitting around.
Right. Doing nothing. They're sitting around with Ma and Pa.
Yeah, that's exactly. They're just sitting around waiting for the next opportunity, you know, dealing with Little House. But a lot of, I mean, these cast members have lives now. So you really kind of have to measure out and think, okay, is this something that's really going to be worth their time, that they're going to want to get on a plane and go to this place that they've never been to before, that's kind of way out in the middle of nowhere, which most of these venues, when you're dealing with the prairie, most of these venues are out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so fascinating that, and they've made my life so easy, the fact that so many of them will just say, oh, sure, you know, I got time that weekend, yeah, where's this at? And, you know, okay, you know, I'm packing my suitcase right now. It's just been so easy once it, you know, they've done things that I just thought, you know, they're really not going to be interested in that. But they've gone out and, you know, done a 200% job. And it's just, like I said earlier, it's been easy for me to do some of these events because they make it so easy.
So, Paul, when was the first, I guess, reunion where you started calling it a reunion?
That was the one in Keystone, South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
That was the girls had made an appearance in Keystone in 2008. So the Greenbush twins were in at Keystone, which is, you know, right at the foot of Mount Rushmore.
Right.
And so they decided, the powers that be at Mount Rushmore, Keystone, said, you know, because that is an important site for the Carrie Ingalls, the real Carrie Ingalls.
Yeah, her husband was instrumental with something, the naming?
A newspaper, ran a newspaper there, and there were some, you know, some sites named after her husband. And in fact, I think Mary Ingalls came and lived with her for a while before she passed away. So there was a lot of connections there. So they really wanted to have some sort of wanted to keep that connection alive with Little House on the Prairie. So they decided in 2009 they wanted to have a group there. So we ended up having 9 of the cast show up for that event.
Wow. And that's from the Parks Department?
There was there's a lady there that, there's several people there that run their own little businesses. Mm-hmm. This lady ran a store that connected to a touring business where they would take fans on the tour of some of their caves.
Gotcha. There.
So they had a weekend that was called Holy Terror. So that was their Holy Terror festival that they had once a year. And they wanted, for some reason, they chose that weekend to have this cast reunion. So they decided they wanted to get as many of the cast members that they could to attend this reunion. So, like I said, you know, I think I put out the invitations to a dozen of the cast, and we ended up with 9 that were able to make it that weekend.
Now, I mean, if you fast forward a little bit to around, I'd say, 2013, that's, I think, when the media was really covering it.
Right.
Maybe even the 2014 reunion. I remember the cast was getting on like the morning shows, and this is where it was really getting real media attention.
Right.
At least from my point of view, I was like, you know, all of a sudden my wife was like, hey, the Little House on the Prairie cast is on TV.
Right.
I was really blown away by it back then, but the fact that, you know, realistically you were very instrumental in a lot of just bringing these people together for the idea of these reunions. Did you just see these reunions kind of growing more and more and more, and attendance getting more popular?
What usually happens is a lot of these venues, they kind of keep tabs on each other, you know. Mm-hmm. So when we had that event at, like you said earlier, the real actual reunion of multiple cast members, larger group at Keystone, of course, all the other venues said, oh, wow, what happened over there? Because, again, they weren't sure how it was going to draw in that town. But it turned out that, in fact, it was kind of funny because after this event in Keystone where we had the 9 cast members show up, the one of the guys, there's actually two men that kind of split ownership of the town. It's like one guy owns half the town, the other guy owns the other half. And this one of the guys called this lady who I'd been dealing with, the one that actually sponsored all these cast members to come to town, and they said, wow, you did an awesome job. We didn't have a single hotel room empty that weekend. We sold out everything. All the restaurants, you know, like tripled their business that weekend just because of this group coming to town. And so when something like that happens, the other towns or villages or museums that have these kind of setups, they get wind of that and they say, we want to do something like that.
Yeah, we want that extra several tens of thousands of dollars income.
Yeah, these organizers, they have a meeting every single year where they compare notes. Okay, this is what we did last year, and this is our attendance. This is what, you know, this is our budget. This is how we did. This is how, you know, this is how everything happened. And, of course, everybody's, you know, throwing that out there, and everybody says, okay, you know, this venue did this, and this is what happened. So, you know, when they see that, they, well, we want to do that for our venue as well. So that's kind of how it builds. It's literally very behind the scenes, word of mouth, where people are saying, you know. And so I started getting calls from all over the U.S. from places. You know, we have a Pioneer Village that we set up in Wisconsin. We have one in New York. We have one. You know, we want to bring some cast members in. You know, can we do one or two? Do we have to do the whole group? Can we have one here and one there? So it just started coming from all over the place. And of course, a lot of the cast would get, you know, communication directly from some of these venues saying, you know, we heard about this event in such and such a town that went really well. Mm-hmm. We want to do something like that here. And who do we talk to? And, you know, so they would start, they start directing things toward me. Well, this is the person you need to talk to. Now, mind you, they'd had some reunions before I was on the scene. You know, they had a reunion in Homestead in Nebraska, which went very well, and there was a lot of, you know, good vibe from that. But it kind of petered off because, you know, nobody was kind of keeping the pot stirred.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, they had somebody to say, okay, you need to talk to this guy, you know. So instead of people calling the cast members and talking the ear off for an hour about their time on the show, okay, you need to talk to this guy if you want to go any further. And that's just kind of how it built from there.
I mean, in the past several years, I've heard of it more and more that people are really getting excited for it every summer. The one that's coming up in just a month from now, I believe July 12th through the 14th, it's going to be at the Laura Ingalls Wilder Museum in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. And let me just drop their website. It's walnutgrove.org. And I had the pleasure of speaking to Amy about that. And, you know, everybody is so excited about that. Not just the people who are attending it, but also the people who work it. The town gets ready for it. They're a small town. You know, it literally is like a small town, Walnut Grove, you know. And when these people, they come in and they have pageants, and it's a very exciting thing. Also, it's 19th century history. I mean, what's better than that? I really wish I could be going to it this year. I really tried. I'm a Boy Scout leader in my son's troop. So we're going to be camping out for about 2 weeks in upstate New York. But we will be stopping at the Wilder Ranch on the way there.
Good.
So I am going to get a little bit of that in Monroe, New York.
Right.
We're going to stop in there. But I really wish I could make it for this. I'm going to really, really push to get there next year. And that's what I'm kind of thinking is, you know, I'm already assuming there's one next year. You know, it just seems too good not to have another one next year. No?
Well, I hate to dash your...
Uh-oh. What are you going to break my heart here?
I'm going to break your heart because you are in that group of fans where I hear from them every year, and they say, you know, I've got this camping trip this summer. Mm-hmm. I've got the wedding. There's a lot of weddings during the summer that I have to be that weekend. So I can't make the reunion this year, but I'm going to come next year for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
And, of course, I have to tell them, well, you know, as far as reunions go, when you're talking about a group of the cast, that only happens every 5 years or so.
Well, now, I have people who listen to my podcast, though, and they're kind of pissed off at me that, hey, you should just do a show from there. And it makes the most sense. So I really am going to try. Hopefully there will be another one next year, and hopefully it will be there.
They in between the group reunions, at least in some of the venues we've been at, they'll do the group every few years. They might bring in the interim, they might bring in a cast member or two. You know, Allison's been there by herself a few times. Mm-hmm. You know, Karen was in Walnut Grove years ago, and she was there again a couple of years ago. Charlotte's been there by herself. So, you know, in the interim, they'll, you know, they make appearances by themselves or in pairs. It's a lot of fun when, you know, a lot of the cast members, like we mentioned, you know, quite a bit ago, is that they all get along.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is unlike most shows that I've heard about, and even some that I've worked, you know, with on some events that not this group, but other groups, a lot of those cast members, they want, you know, to be there by themselves. They don't want to be there as a group. They want to be there by themselves. And whereas with the group, with the Little House on the Prairie cast members, you know, when they have something happening, they say, well, let's, you know, bring everybody, you know, mm-hmm. bring so-and-so. I'd love to have Charlotte with me. I'd love to have Allison go with me. I'd love to have Dean with me, and, you know, that kind of thing. And you just don't see that often. But in this group, you know, they love traveling together. They love, you know, putting little groups together. We had four of the cast in Missouri for the Cherry Blossom Festival in April.
Mm.
We've done several appearances over the years at Heritage Hill in Wisconsin that has routinely brought in a couple of cast members. They do it like every other year. But a lot of these venues, you know, they'll bring in one or two cast members. So in the interim, in between all these groups of reunions, it's kind of difficult for everybody to do that group thing every year. So
yeah, I would imagine, definitely. Like, some people it might fall into a schedule, but other people, you know, to commit to 3 days in the middle of July is sometimes very difficult. But you have a lot of people this year. I just wanted to mention them real quick, if I could. You have Charlotte Stewart, Allison Arngrim, Dean Butler, David Friedman. I'm just going by the list of that's in front of me. Wendy Lou Lee, who has a book coming out. Sydney Greenbush, Sten Ivor, Rodimus Pera, who I had the opportunity to speak with recently. Pamela Roylance, Hersha Parody, who I just spoke to a couple days ago, and Lindsay Kennedy. And it's a pretty big, it's a large group. You know, that's awesome.
What I think is kind of neat about this year, too, is that it spans pretty much the whole show run.
Because you have the whole era. You have the entire the multiple generations.
Right. You have Sydney that was there from the pilot.
Yeah.
Literally from the pilot. And then you go all the way to having Stan Ivar and Pamela Roylance and Lindsay Kennedy and Dave Friedman,
yeah,
who were there at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that whole range where we're covering, you know, because, you know, fans, there were some fans that, you know, jumped on board with the show maybe 3 years into it, 2 years into it. You know, there's some people that only watched, you know, until the Ingalls left, and then they're like, I'm not watching that anymore.
Just a little house.
Yeah, just a little house. And there's some people that just adored the Carter family.
Yes.
You know, just can, you know, quote everything they said on that, you know, because they had that end of the series run and the drama of the town blowing up and everything. That was the Carters. You know, they finished out the series. And
I can see people getting mad. It's like, who's this guy living in the little house?
Yeah, right. All right, get him out of there. Get
him and his family. Get him out of there.
Yeah, so it's, I'll tell you what, it's been a real treat because, you know, there, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, I would, you know, when we have events, we, of course, you know, I send out the invites to everybody. You know, usually these venues want to know who all is available. And so I send out the invites. Okay, we have this coming up, and usually we try to do this 6 months ahead of time, 4 months ahead of time. So I'll send out the invites. I'll say, okay, we have an event. They want some cast members at this town, at this weekend, at this month. Who's available? You know, I said, send all these emails out so I get these responses. I can do that weekend. I can do that. I'm available. And some people say, well, you know, I have to work that weekend. I'm shooting a show this weekend, or, you know, I'm with my family this weekend. So it's been a real treat because I haven't had the chance to meet the Carter family as of yet. So this is the first time that they've done anything with our group. So it's been great to know that they will be there.
Yeah, I think that's really, you know, I guess I call them the old and the new episodes, you know, like the early and late 70s to early 80s episodes. So you're also known, I mentioned earlier that you're the Prairie Wrangler. Allison Arngrim has chosen this title for you.
Right.
It's, and I definitely think you have to have a custom T-shirt or something. You have to.
It's been talked about for sure.
I do want to mention also that I don't know if I thanked you during the recording, but I just want to thank you so much for getting me in touch with so many people, or just having people reach out to me to come on to the show. I mean, Dean Butler was just, he was such a pleasure, and it's just, you know, I got to ask him like the weirdest questions, like, you know, what kind of car did you drive to the audition? And it was a Volkswagen Beetle. So, you know, I really do thank you. And I know that the listeners of my podcast also should be thanking you, because honestly, without your involvement, I would not be speaking to the majority of these people.
I do have fun sometimes. I think I did this with you. I think that's how it started. Is sometimes, you know, I come across, you know, this day and age, we talked off the recording about how things have become, you know, switching from TV to streaming, and sure, people are on the internet. And I've come across a lot of these little shows on little radio shows. There was several radio shows in the past that would be on this topic or whatever, Little House on the Prairie. And it was so much fun for me to pop in there and say, hey, you know what? Since you're talking about this person or talking about this show, or how about having an actual cast member on your show?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, their first response was, oh, that'd be great, but we have no way of getting a hold of them. We don't know if they're even interested in where they're at. So I said, give me a minute, you know. So it was kind of fun that they were just kind of like shocked, like, oh, you mean we can actually have an actual cast member talking to us on the radio or on the phone?
Yeah.
So that's been a kind of a fun piece for me to do.
One trend, though, is it seems like everybody who I've spoken to hates Skype. You don't. You're on Skype now. But every single person, I think I've had to call their personal phone number. It's really funny. But, you know, that's life. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But Lucy Lee actually was one of – Lucy Lee Flippin. She was, I think, the funniest person that I had the opportunity to speak with. And she really was – I don't know why she would be nervous to speak to me. I'm just some guy – I'm a stay-at-home dad on Long Island, you know. But she was so, like, funny and everything. And you put me in touch with her, and we just had the great, she even said afterward that she had a great time. So I'm not just putting words in her mouth, but we just had such a nice conversation. Everyone is so nice. It's to the point where it's like, what's wrong with all these people? They're too nice. They like each other too much.
Lucy's a great example of that, because, you know, I think people, she's so quiet and so demure, yeah, you know. I remember the first time I met her, she was just kind of, she kind of acted shy, and, you know, and I think her kind of reaction was, you know, why am I here? I don't know if people want to see me or not, you know. And then you get her out there, and she just like lights the place up, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, Dean, you know, playing her brother on the show, he loves having her there, you yeah. know. And you know, we've done a couple. We did an appearance a couple of years ago in I think that was Wisconsin. I get these all kind of jumbled together sure. after a while. Did an appearance, you know, with the two of them. Oh, it's just some great lines where, you know, that where they, you know, they were talking and they were switching into this mode where they were brother and sister again.
They riff off each other. I've seen like stuff yeah. on YouTube, like what you're talking about. And it's like, you guys look like you hang out all the time, the way they act with each other.
Yeah, the saying things like, you know, if I were to choose a brother or if I were to choose a sister, I would choose you as my sister.
And I mean just like, it. You know, and they're not full of it.
No, not at all. Not at all. So
what do you see for the future of the reunions? I mean, do you see this as kind of expanding? I mean, the popularity of Little House, it kind of goes up, it goes down, but I feel like we're getting closer to kind of a crescendo. There seems to be more and more interest in the show. I don't know. Ever since Amazon put it on Prime for everybody to watch with your Prime membership, this is not sponsored by Amazon Prime, but you know, it just seems like there's a lot of people watching the show that may never have watched it previously. Even France, it's becoming more and more popular in Japan. It's very popular.
We have groups. We have a group right now from Australia that's trying to figure out how to get us down there.
Oh, that would be insane.
It's they've been talking, chattering mostly to Allison, I believe. But there's a group down there, a strong Little House, you know, in the Prairie fan group down there that they're just trying to figure out the logistics of getting a group down there, which would be amazing, you know. And of course, we've had various reunions out in France, where there's a group out in France that has brought. I think they usually try to bring out three or four every time, but that's happened several times in the past decade. And you know, there's a huge fan base in Japan, like you said, yeah. China. There's places that, you know, I don't know if it's really safe to take any fan members there, but there's places, you know, that some of these countries that would love, they have this little pocket of Little House fans that would love to have, you know, an appearance by a cast member or a group there. And and of course, I don't know if you've read this before. I think it's in Allison's book where Saddam Hussein was a big Little House on the Prairie.
Get out of, no, I've never heard this before.
So that was, and of course, she has fun with that with her stand-up show, which
I can only imagine. She must riff off that.
Yeah, where, you know, let's take a pause in our fighting right now because the House of Prairie is about to come on. So everybody just settle down, quiet down, stop shooting.
Like number one fan.
Yeah.
With the lunchbox, you know.
Yeah. So she does have fun with talking about
that. Wow, I never heard of that. That's really wild. But you know, I think that there is a certain I feel like in this country we have it, but also outside of this country, people have a fascination with 19th century American history. And there's something about Little House on the Prairie's representation of it that's digestible, and there's something honest about it, and there's something very comfortable about it. And although it might not be exactly historically accurate, there's something about it that you walk away with that you feel as though it's a good representation of something that's good. You well, know, I love the way the show looks. I just feel like you couldn't even make a show like this nowadays.
Yeah, this definitely had its own special flavor to it, and people, I mean, it has such a great draw because some of these people they get upset. You know, it's interesting. They get upset when a network that had been running this show four times a day, you know, might take a month off and run another show. And they get upset because they're not able to see that Little House on the Prairie. And a lot of these fans that I've heard from, you know, they've seen the entire show from, you know, pilot to the end of 10, season 10, where they have, you know, it's almost like they haven't seen it. I got to see it. even though I've seen it 20 times, I still want to see it, you know?
See, when I was growing up, the show was not very cool for boys to watch. yeah, I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but, you know, it was, I would have to watch it in secrecy. I would watch the reruns. It was on 5 o'clock, 5 to 6 on Channel 11 in New York. Right. And I would watch it. And when I got older, when I'm in college and right after college, yeah, I just bring up, at that point, I didn't really care that I liked Little House. And I would say, you know, when I was a kid, I would have to secretly watch, you know, Little House on the Prairie. And I found out all my friends were doing exactly the same thing at the same time. So right. We would all just kind of sneak away at 5 and watch Little House on the Prairie separately, even though we were all doing it at the same exact time. And actually, in the beginning of the podcast is a song by a band called Project Brundlefly. And it's from my friend Jerry. And Jerry, he was one of my friends who would go and he'd sneak away and watch a Little House. And we'd see each other around 6:30. And, you know, he's one of these guys who grew up in New York and moved to Norway, of all places. And he's brought, you know, he's like, Norway, there's an interest of Little House on the Prairie, you know. It's just amazing to me. I love the fact that it's finding new fans in other countries.
Yeah, it's just people are realizing, and the great thing, too, is that a lot of people don't realize, hey, these cast members are available. They want to see their fans. They're not like some of these shows where the cast came on the set, they shot their episode, they're gone, never to speak of it again, you know?
Now, do you deal with, I mean, a lot of people will post these ridiculous photos of Melissa Gilbert's brother, you know?
Right.
Why am I forgetting his first name all of a sudden? Willie.
Jonathan Gilbert.
Jonathan Gilbert, I'm sorry. What do you think about that? I mean, there's this fascination to know what he looks like, and it's almost a sickness because the guy clearly wants to be, you know, outside of the spotlight, and I don't believe he ever wanted to be a part of the spotlight. And people seem to be weird about it. I don't get it.
I think that a lot of the cast, I mean, there's a fair amount of the cast members who, you know, they had their time on the show. They want something different with their life now. Sure. You know, so they want to move on, and you know these fans are very fervent. They're very passionate. They want to know everything about the cast members. They want to know, you know, who they're married to, you know, who their kids are, where they are at, what they're doing now, what they look like. It's just they have this passion that know every single detail. And the fact that this particular person is kind of hiding, it just ramps it up. You know, if Jonathan were to come out and say, hey, guys, just stopping in to you know, let you know here I'm at, and here's a picture of me now. And I think a lot of the fans would be like, okay.
Yeah, they'd just move on to Matthew Labrador or something.
Yeah, but right. So, but the fact that it's being held back, you know, he's behind this curtain where, you know, only a few people even have contact with him, much less, you know what he's looked like or where he's at. That they just can't handle that mystery, I guess.
Like, he's the chutzpah to not come out and give me what I want.
Right. How dare you not talk to us?
Yeah. But I saw this in a couple groups. I think you've seen it, too. And people get really, really defensive about it. People get almost downright nasty about it when you say things like, hey, look, whatever. Just let the guy, you know, exist. people don't want to hear that.
There's a group. I mean, there's a group of pictures, and you've seen them several times, that people will insist this is Jonathan Gilbert. And I just found this. This is Jonathan Gilbert, and of course, you know, I have to shoot that down, which I've been doing for the past decade. That no, that's not Jonathan Gilbert. In fact, that person in that picture has come out and made a statement. I am not Jonathan Gilbert.
.com.
Right. Just letting you people know that they've been calling me and writing to me. I'm not Jonathan Gilbert from the show, and that's a true fact that some of these people have had to do.
But it's almost like a TV series that Alison Arngrim should star in or something.
Yes, I am not Jonathan Gilbert.
Exactly, but yeah, I mean there are a lot of fans who feel as though that it's theirs to know. and I can respect the passion. I just, there's a certain line that needs to be drawn and they have to learn.
Well, you know, a lot of the fans, they feel like, you know, they put themselves in front of cameras, and so they've given up their right to privacy at that point. And so once they become this character in these fans' minds, then the fans have every right to know everything about them from the time they were on the show to, you know, the time we all leave this earth, you know. And then they don't have the right to keep that privacy.
But I do want to mention the group that we were talking about before. The exact name is the Little House on the Prairie Cast Reunion. And I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes so people can just kind of click it and join, because this is really going to be the place to go. You know, if there's an event going on in upstate New York, this is going to be the place that you post it, right? I mean, or at least the first place. I mean, of course, information is going to get taken. It's going to get recycled. But if you really want to find, you know, get it from the horse's mouth and from the people who are actually organizing these events, this would be the best place. So yeah, I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Again, it's Little House on the Prairie Cast Reunion, but either way, I'll put a link to it. That way people can just kind of get right to it. You know, you have in there, you have a particular artist named Eric, Caron, or Caron, and he's the guy who makes all the miniatures. He does such amazing work, and
it's spectacular.
I just kind of went to it real quick, and I see he made a post, and it just reminded me of his artwork is so beautiful, and the work that he's done in these Little House on the Prairie miniatures are out of control. Like, they're just so detailed and wonderful. I recommend everybody go and check him out. I'll put a link to one of his posts or something. I'm sure he has a website. Are you going to be able to attend this event in Walnut Grove?
Oh, yes, I'll be there.
Oh, awesome. So you'll be signing autographs. Paul Valenti. Keep on dreaming.
Yeah, it was funny because, you know, most of the time I try to stay out of the camera range. And
yes.
I really enjoy being behind the scenes person, you know.
So. You're a part of this now. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You are, whether you like it or not. I mean, you might not have been the person on the screen with them, but you're definitely, you know, instrumental in the creation of these reunions. And I think that's wonderful.
It was funny. I had a fan, I think it was last summer, that made this posting. Here's a rare photo of Paul Valenti at work. And it showed me, I was behind the scenes. I was watching some sort of thing going on, and people were like, wow, we never seen that before. You know, kind of just had fun with it because, you know, I just, you know, the cameras are always aimed at the cast members. You know, they don't get aimed at my direction too often, and that's fine. I'm fine with that. It was funny, the last we were in Missouri in April, you know, people come up, you know, and at this particular event people were allowed to take, you know, these candid photos. And so I'm standing there talking to Dean, and this lady comes walking up with her camera, and of course my reaction is always, you know, I'll take a few steps over to the left, you know, or to the, you know, whatever, get out of the camera shot. And she goes, where are you going? I said, what are you talking about? She goes, I'm trying to take a picture of you. I'm like, why? Dean's standing right next to me.
Ooh.
And so, you know, I'm like, this is some sort of Twilight Zone or parallel universe we're in right now. So
I see it though. You're an important part of this thing. And I hope you realize it. I think that the entire cast, I think they appreciate it.
They have been patient with me. I have to tell you that. They have been patient with me because, you know, I'm not agent trained. I don't have a certificate on my wall. I've mentioned that. I've said that many times to the cast. I said, you know, I appreciate your trust in me because, you know, I've never went through any kind of agent training, anything like that. And I said, just because, you know, some of the first few events were a little rough on logistics. You know, I didn't have a clear grip on, okay, this takes this long, this cast member needs this much time. They need breaks here and there. And I, you know, there are a few times where I'm like, oh, okay, that we shouldn't have done it that way, you know, kind of thing. So, I mean, the cast has been great as far as, you know, just saying, hey, Paul, you're doing a great job. You know, nice catch on that. It was great because I remember a couple of years ago I had an appearance. We had an appearance with, like I was telling you about early, with Dean and Lucy. And they were sitting there at breakfast, and I showed up and before the event. And Dean looks at me and looks at Lucy and says, okay, now I can relax. You know, that's just a great comment. And he said, you know, he went on to say, tell Lucy that when Paul's here, I don't worry about anything. I just know it's going to run okay. So, and for the most part, it does. You know, we still have our glitches and stuff, but man, you know, the cast can ride right through anything, it seems like.
Well, it sounds like you put a lot of passion into it, and it definitely shows. I just hear from so many people who have attended these events, and everybody's having fun. You know, I don't even think you have to be a tremendous fan of Little House on the Prairie to really kind of go to these events and appreciate them, because it's not just about the show either. It's, you know, like I was saying, they have the pageants, and right. And the place itself is just a very historical location. So, yeah, Paul, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with me tonight. It's been fascinating how you met with these people and how small of a world it is.
Well, hopefully I can give you some updates as we go along toward the we've got 4 weeks or we've got a month to go before the in fact, we're all flying out on Thursday, the 11th of July. So it all starts then.
Wow. So, so is the people that are going, is it finalized? Do you have any, surprise people that might pop in? Like, does it work like that at all ever?
I think at this stage of the game, I think we're pretty much set on who we have going.
It's a ton of people. So,
yeah. I think, you know, there's always that door that, you know, if someone popped up and said, you know, my schedule just cleared out, you know, can I come join you? That there's always that possibility. But I think at this point, with everything being planned the way it is, and I think, you know, it's a large group. So we have a lot of logistics to make sure everything runs properly. And fortunately, most of the cast are coming from the same spot. So I only had to, you know, we're only dealing with like three or four airports. So that was nice.
Right. Well, I was just thinking about asking a question. I'm like, I'm not going to ask you that because that might invade somebody's privacy. But I'll ask you off air. But Paul, you're welcome anytime back. If you ever want to talk about anything, any events, any advancements in the chiropractic world. I love going to the chiropractor personally. I'm a big fan of it. Actually, my chiropractor fixed my tinnitus in one crack. It was amazing.
It works great. I mean, it's something that it's really fulfilling for me to be able to see those kind of results in such a short period of time.
Yeah. I couldn't. It was unexpected. I had it, and it was just it was a happy side effect.
Right.
But Paul, again, thank you so much. And yeah, if people want to really kind of find out exactly specifically the things that are going on for any of the reunion, Little House on the Prairie cast reunion, I'll put a link to it in the show notes and also post it around when we do post this episode.
Thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate it. Get out the way, old man Tucker. You're too late to get your supper. Get out the way, old man Tucker. You're too late to get your supper. Yeah.
supper. Yeah, way, old man Tucker. You're too late to get your supper. Come. Get out the way, old man Tucker. You're too late to get your supper. Get out the way.